Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace. They have a curated collection of investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry. Each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts. You can buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10.
Betches Media presents.
If you feel depressed and if you feel anxious and you feel confused, you know what? Welcome to the club.
Gazpacho, police.
Oh, my God.
What a stupid son of a bitch.
He believes that it's a woman's right, it's a woman's body, and it's her choice.
The Betches Sup Podcast.
Sayonara, sucka.
Hello, I'm Elise Morales.
I'm Millie Tamaras.
And this is the Betches Sup Podcast, where C-SPAN meets the group chat to help you process and laugh at the biggest topics in U.S. news and politics. It's just me and Millie today. Amanda has left the country. She's expatriated.
This is the takeover. Finally, we're going to make it Betches Pups.
Yep, it's finally happening. Actually, Rusty is at daycare right now, and thank God that he is.
My daycare opens up in another week, but my dog did take a shit on the carpet today.
No, not happy. Tino.
It's my fault. You know, I slept till noon.
Yeah, they will do that.
I haven't taken him out today, so it's not his fault.
Yeah. My husband has COVID at this moment.
I did not know that.
Yeah. So I have been taking Rusty on his morning walks, which normally I don't do because I don't wake up. And
yeah.
So it's like, I didn't realize this until this week, and I've had to be up early, but somehow, maybe it's because I'm in my 30s now, I've become a, like, I need coffee to function in the morning person.
Me too. Never before, but now I need coffee.
Now, like, people are trying to interact with me. I can't even fathom what they're saying. Like, I went into the bodega and I poured hot coffee in my iced coffee cup. Like, I don't know what.
Wow, what a faux pas.
Yeah, and then I, like, did something stupid with my card, and I put it in the wrong thing, and then my bodega guy was laughing at me, and I was like, you should be laughing at me. I'm a mess.
Yeah.
It's 7 a.m., and I'm a fucking mess.
Oh, man. 7 a.m. is brutal.
7 a.m. is brutal, but on the bright side, Danny will now have a note that clears him to travel in Europe for 90 days. I already got COVID and have my note, so now we don't have to test to get back in the country from Spain. So that's the bright side of all of this.
Listen, look at you keeping it on the bright side.
Keeping it positive, because we were both really nervous about that, because you could get still, because you have to test to get back in the country. So you can go out there and be whatever, you don't have to test, but to come back into the US, you have to test negative or have a letter. And it's very, I don't want to be trapped out of the country.
I've been out of the country like a few times already, and I'm just, that has never like occurred as something that could happen. I'm just like, yeah, whatever.
And that's the way you keep it positive.
Yeah, I'm just like, whatever. Then I'm staying in Mexico another week, baby. There's been worse things.
There could be worse things. Oh, God. I feel like now I have to transition into our first topic, and it feels like I'm being cheeky, but I'm
speaking
not.
Of worse things.
Speaking of worse things, again, Amanda's not here to guide us in her sound way. We are going to be talking first up top with updates about the shooting in Uvalde, Texas. I know I personally have felt a lot more sensitive to updates about this. Mm-hmm. So I don't know about you, but for some reason, I usually listen to like all the Up First and PR special things and all of the like dailies where they're talking to people. And I just haven't been able to do it with this one.
I haven't. And like even reading about it on Twitter, like just more details about the inaction from police and all of that, like it's been really difficult because that's mixed in with like people making fun of Swedes about for for not sharing and like
the Mona whatever, Lisa getting attacked with cake.
Yeah, and like whatever Elon Musk is doing. And then it's these horrific updates about this. So it's like, I can't even imagine like these deep dives. It's just really depressing.
Yeah, and I think, well, obviously all of these are really depressing. This is particularly horrible because children are involved. But I think like every new thing that comes out about this one, I feel like reflects another element of society that is very upsetting, that needs to be fixed, that is like really tough to tackle mentally. So I just want to say that up top, if like you're feeling overloaded with a lot of this information, maybe skip a little bit. And we're going to talk about some other stuff as well in this episode. But I know I personally have had a hard time keeping up so much with everything. But we are going to go into some updates now. So President Joe Biden and First Lady Jill Biden visited Uvalde this weekend to meet with the families of the victims at Robb Elementary School, as well as local government officials. The only public comment that Biden made during this time was basically when someone from the crowd shouted as he left a church to do something, and he responded, "We will." So what does he mean by that? Biden has said that, quote unquote, rational Republicans realize that we can't continue with our current gun laws. By this, he's basically referring to Mitch McConnell and John Cornyn. John Cornyn is representing Republican interests in a Senate group tasked with coming up with a bipartisan agreement on gun reform. This wouldn't be able to go forward if Mitch McConnell hadn't put his cursed seal of approval on it. So that's who he's referring to. Cornyn recently quote tweeted an article pushing for single entry schools, because that's now the new thing. Because they've said mental health so many times, but they don't put forward any mental health bills and they don't actually want to. So now, and they've said the thing about arming teachers, but people have rightly said that's insane. So now they're talking about single entry schools.
It doesn't make any sense.
Which makes no sense. So John Cornyn quote tweeted this article about single entry schools, and he added the comment, "Do like airports," which makes no sense because airports famously have many entry and exit points and gates, all of the planes have their own. I don't even know what that means.
I think he means like everybody comes in, like, yeah, school TSA, but it's like,
right,
y'all don't even give money. Look at what these kids are eating for lunch.
Right. My our close friend, Katie Ruth Ashcraft, was talking about how her sister works in, she's a teacher. I was about to say work in a school. She's a teacher. And she's been trying to get a whiteboard all year. The whiteboard that she has is insufficient, but we're going to install TSA in every school. I'd love to see them put it forward instead of just, like, that's the other thing is like, okay, if that's what you actually think, put forward a bill, but they're not really going to. I mean, whatever. Anyway.
What state is John Cornyn from?
John Cornyn, I think, is Texas.
Because I'm just like, a lot of these people are also from these states that, like, have no...
He's Texas. He's Texas. Yeah. So he's Ted Cruz's co-senator from Texas.
Well, because I'm just like, a lot of these people also don't tax. And then, so the teachers even have less resources. Like, right? I think Oklahoma is one of those states that, like, they tax nothing and then have no resources at all.
Right. I imagine that on the list of what a public school needs in Texas, a handgun and an entire TSA setup is very low on the list. I mean, it reminds me always, and I mean, Abbott Elementary takes place famously in Philly, but in the Abbott Elementary pilot, when she's like doing the textbook and it ends at George W. Bush, and she's like, "We've actually had two presidents since then. I have taped them in." Like,
yeah.
State of things. And you're going to tell me that actually we're going to give every teacher a gun and we're going to install the thing that scans your entire body. And,
but also, like, it's just so ridiculous. First of all, imagine going to recess. Like, how are these kids going to go to recess with one entrance? And then on top of that, it's like, or we can just, anybody who's harmed an animal cannot get a gun, guys. Like, I feel like that might be a little easier.
Yeah, literally, and luckily, that is one of it, red flag laws, expanded background checks, red flag laws, and enhanced school security, which is probably the thing we're going to have to give Republic. We have to pretend. I mean, we don't have to pretend, but every time stuff like this comes up, we have to pretend that their dumb solution has some merit. So whatever. Anyway. Yeah,
dumb solution. Like those cops in schools, like,
yeah,
this is so
ridiculous.
We have to
put money to that so that we can get red flag laws. But these red flag laws would allow for people who are deemed dangerous to have their guns taken away. Domestic violence has come up again in this shooting. I mean, he killed his grandmother before going out, but before that, he had also, there's all this information coming out about the gunman that he sent like really scary messages to women online.
At his job at Wendy's and all that shit.
Yeah, like he was sending really, really scary messages to women online, which brings up like how misogyny is, I know Caitlin always says it, but it's like misogyny is the gateway prejudice. Like it leads to a lot of different stuff.
And everyone loves misogyny. That's what I say. If there's something unites everybody, it's how much
it's
they hate
misogyny,
women.
It's misogyny. And like, it opens up questions about social media too, because some of these people said that they did report his messages on these apps and these apps don't do anything, which is classic. So again, it's like we were talking about before where like this shooting just brings up so many other
societal issues.
Disturbing things. This is something that Bridget, our wonderful stepping in for Amanda today, Bridget put in our outline that I was like, what the hell? But Biden also said that he's looking into tearing down and rebuilding Robb Elementary to minimize reminders of the shooting because there is a federal grant program to destroy and rebuild or renovate schools after shootings. So we have laws on the books to tear the schools down where shootings have happened, but we have nothing to stop them from happening in the first place. That's like, it's easier to just be like, we'll just give money for you to tear down all the shooting schools. Crazy.
And it's also like just something so dark and nasty about this. Because it's like, that can't be cheap. That's not cheap.
How could it be?
How can it also like, I just much rather have like really intense therapy for all the children. You know, that's just going to be a big mark on the entire town. And they should have services for everybody, like long-term services. I feel like that's a better thing than just tear it down and reconfigure the hallway so that people aren't reminded. And it's like, oh my God.
And I mean, again, it's just like, it's crazy to me that that's an easier thing to get past than like one single gun regulation. Truly, even the smallest thing. So, pivoting now to the police response, which you mentioned before, it's come under a lot of scrutiny, what went on with the police department in Uvalde. The Justice Department announced this weekend that it's going to probe how law enforcement handled the situation, and the timeline is still kind of ever evolving. So every press conference really has just been raising more questions, and local officials are continuously changing their story on how long the gunman was inside and what was done to stop him. So there was a press conference over the weekend where they continued to talk about the timeline. And in that press conference, they said that three officers followed the gunman into the building within like 2 minutes. And in the next half hour, as many as 19 officers piled into a hallway outside. But it was 45 minutes before Border Patrol breached the door and went in. And the way that the door was breached was that they got a master key and opened the door. Which is like, I saw this point being made on Twitter as well, but I don't understand how police kill unarmed people all the time because they fear for their lives. There's a gunman in a classroom and he's actively shooting kids, we need to wait 45 minutes to get the key to the door?
No, like break into somebody's house and just shoot them.
Right?
Like all the time. And like, I just read something about they did this to a pregnant woman the other day. You know what I mean? It's just like terrible, terrible fucking. And then also, I heard that there is some hesitance from police because the kid had an assault rifle. And they're like, well, we don't want to get shot. And it's like, well, then even more of a reason to ban assault rifles, one. And two, it's like, what are you guys doing? Like, y'all wanted to be the heroes, right? Like,
yeah, you're supposed to be the good guys with guns. And also, I just am not understanding the logic of being like, well, we have to be able to shoot people if they're going to shoot us.
And then not shooting.
And not shooting anyone who's actually going to shoot you, only shooting like people who don't have guns or who are running away. Or
I hate to be like, you have one job, but
that really,
it really is the thing.
It really is the job. Like
it really is. You have one job and it's to protect children. But you know, I mean, this is of course getting into yet another societal problem, like you were saying, Elise, of like, what do police protect? What are their priorities? Is it to keep people safe or to protect capital or to protect You know what I mean? Like,
right, because we obviously... I mean, this is the thing. I read Alex Vitale's book, The End of Policing. It's a really, really good book. I still struggle sometimes with, like, well, yeah, but what if someone is actively committing, like, a serious act of violence? Like, is that what we need police for? You know, I want to feel protected from stuff like that. But at the same time, it's like, okay, but is that protection actually coming to pass? Because in this situation, it most certainly didn't. That's not to say police don't prevent other situations, but there are questions about how is it decided when to intervene? Does it just come down to the who the people are in that moment? I mean, it's very complicated question.
Yeah, and I mean, I think the biggest thing that argues in that book is that police have
also
too
maybe
much
Vitale, but I don't
Vitale.
Know.
Okay,
I don't know. I'm just acknowledging that I don't know.
That's okay. Listen, Amanda would know, but she ain't here. So
she ain't here. She's in France.
She's in France, hoes. So stop complaining. Yes, I did call all of our lovely listeners.
Beautiful, wonderful listeners.
Our beautiful, wonderful listeners. And you know what? We're taking hoes back. The biggest thing that I've gathered from, you know, listening and hearing about the book and listening to interviews with Vitale is that police have too much on their plates. They're responsible for too much. Mm-hmm. And then they don't really do anything properly. I mean, not that they don't do anything properly, but like they're in charge of homelessness, mental health, responding to mental health crises, all this shit. And it's just like, I think when people talk about defund the police, it's like, let's share some of these resources, like the 40% of Uvalde's budget that goes to policing already. I'm like, I just think like, fuck, what if it was easier for this guy to get therapy than
right?
it was
I
to
mean,
get
like,
a gun?
What if there was like a comprehensive like mental health program that existed? I mean, number one, what if he couldn't get a gun? But also like, what if there was help for someone who was struggling? What if there was a place you could go to that was like, hey, I've been getting scary messages from this guy, or like a family member could go to them, or, you know,
like a wellness check for this kid. And yeah, like, people aren't stretched thin and like they can actually, I constantly think about, and I mean, I think that is just like a big thing of like, you know, a big thing about society is that we put so much money into policing that like to acknowledge like the hashtag not all cops argument is that like for people to be middle class in this country, like unfortunately the fastest way to be middle class is to be a police officer or to be in the military.
Yeah.
So it's like, what if people could make a good living being one of these people that are able to provide mental health for people?
Right. Or, because I do think that there are people who became like, obviously, there are people who become police officers who want to help people. And maybe some of them would be drawn to some of these other aspects, whether it would be to become trained in, like, social work, or whether it would be to become trained in, like, de-escalating conflicts, if there was a unit for that. And then the ones who want to be hall monitors can do that as well.
Yeah, literally hall monitors, because that's what they're going to do. They're putting them in schools.
I mean, yes. So one final update about all of this stuff for today is we got to talk about the NRA convention, which did take place in Houston over the weekend. Truly shameless, but based on pictures off Twitter, there were thousands of empty seats while huge protests formed outside the convention center. Trump spoke. He didn't support gun control regulation or anything. They talked a lot about mental health.
I mean, it is funny for all people, Donald Trump to talk about mental health.
I mean, absolutely. Do we think he's had 1 ounce of therapy? Like, do you think he's even gone court ordered?
I'm going to raise you this, Elise. I don't even think the man's heard a BetterHelp ad.
Oh, he does not listen to podcasts. There's
no way.
I
don't even think this man has really understands what happens in a therapy session.
Absolutely. He probably still, like, fully, like, Mad Men era calls them head shrinkers and is like, not an ounce of therapy. Not an ounce of therapy for this man.
I don't know if he's ever even watched something that had therapy in it. I don't think Donald Trump. Yeah, I don't think Donald Trump has watched The Sopranos. You think he's watched The Sopranos?
I mean, yes, but maybe just because he's like, yeah, I'd want to have sex with my therapist too.
Jesus Christ.
If I had a lady therapist, it'd be the same deal.
Yeah, but I don't like women that talk so much.
Well, yeah, that's true. He would walk. Again, we're off the rails now talking about whether or not Donald Trump could even attend a therapy session.
Or knows what it is. We know that he has it. I'm just saying, does he know what it is?
And
I'm
does he know what it is?
That's why these people all hate Encanto, honestly.
They don't like the questions that it brings up. Speaking of people who probably hated Encanto, Ted Cruz also spoke. Ted Cruz also spoke. Greg Abbott, this is cute. He didn't speak, but he gave a pre-recorded address. So he is trying to play it both ways.
No. Oh, great.
Right. But Beto was at the protests outside. And there's also this viral video that I included in the newsletter today of these, like, they called them progressive pranksters.
Need more of them. I love it. I'm already on board.
It's great. This guy, he's like a white guy who looks like he would possibly be at the NRA convention. And he gets up when Wayne LaPierre is speaking and he gives this whole rambling speech where he's like, and we need more thoughts and more prayers. And Mr. LaPierre has provided his thoughts and his prayers. It's very good. It's been viewed over 2 million times. LaPierre clearly didn't understand what was happening. People in the audience start clapping because they like think it's real. And it's very funny. So they got trolled pretty hard at their meeting. I don't know. I mean, I think it's pretty messed up that they even had one. But also, if they had to keep canceling them for mass shootings, they'd never have one, you know?
They never have one. And honestly, they need events to cover. The NRA needs to do events to cover up the severe money laundering that they're doing as an organization.
Wayne LaPierre needs something to cover up why he's been flying around in a private plane from place to place.
And that's what Letitia James, she has not come down hard enough on these guys. They're like, oh my God. So it's so dark. It's so dark. And it's also like, man, I don't know what's happening with Democrats.
Yeah.
But the ads, the attack ads are writing themselves.
Yeah, I mean, we need to keep the momentum up through the midterms. We need to keep reminding people why things are not being done. I mean, maybe we'll see some kind of law passed. It's really hard to imagine it happening, but if people are able to keep up the pressure, if Republicans are actually made to start feeling like there are going to be consequences for them electorally in the midterms, if we don't see some kind of action on gun reform, then we might see action. It really comes down to if these people can be made to feel like inaction is going to cost them these seats that right now they're counting on winning. Because Republicans have been going into this midterm feeling really, really good. And so if they start to feel like that's jeopardized, then maybe we could actually see like background checks, a red flag law, like, come on.
Yeah, and I hope that happens. And I hope that Democrats really take this to not only like really, really lean on the NRA gun control shit, and also like do some progressive shit. I know Biden's been sitting on the student loan stuff, but if that happens before November, like all this other stuff that can happen that can like also tee the ball in our court a little bit more. But
yeah, I would rather there not have to be a horrible tragedy that involves children dying for us to have movement. But like we've been saying for years how like the fact that we did nothing after Sandy Hook was really shameful, and there is an opportunity now to not do nothing. I mean, it's fucking insane that there was another Sandy Hook or that there was even a first Sandy Hook, but there is an election coming up right after this. A lot of times this shit happens and we're in between a bunch of things and it's like you can't actually get to the ballot box with any swiftness. But like actually this time we can say stuff about this and about Roe, which brings us to our next topic. We have an update into the investigation into who could have leaked Alito's draft decision of the Mississippi case overturning Roe. So basically, this investigation is escalating, and officials are now trying to obtain cell phone records of SCOTUS law clerks, some of whom are apparently considering getting outside lawyers to protect their information about their personal lives and coming out with their phone data. I mean, I guess I wouldn't really want my employer to get my phone data either, especially if I worked at the Supreme Court.
No, I don't want to see. It's like, this girl gets on Tinder every night before bed.
Like, what? I mean, it's so funny to me to be overturning all this precedent, to be doing this like unheard of thing, but you're going to act like the leak is the most untoward part of the entire scenario.
Yeah, who
like,
fucking cares?
You're upending 50 years of precedent. You don't get to be mad that one of your clerks leaked it. Like, you threw the rule book out when you wrote this shit down.
Yeah, I'm just like, this is not what we should be focusing on at all. Like, they just also like made it so there was another law that people can appeal, like death row. Like, they're doing some really dark, disgusting things.
Yeah, New York gun laws are about to come up, and they're pretty much poised to make New York gun laws less restrictive.
Yeah, which is crazy because that's like kind of one of the cooler things about living here is that we have more gun laws, which are people argue are racist, you know, mm-hmm. like they use it to enforce it on black and brown people, which is interesting.
Yeah.
But personally, just my personal philosophy is like nobody should have guns, but
yeah, and
whatever.
I mean, even with the higher gun laws that we had, there was still literally a mass shooting in Buffalo 2 weeks ago. So it's like, I mean, and the Supreme Court is looking to roll that back. So I just think it just is so ridiculous to me that they're going to be doing all of this stuff, all of this outrageous stuff, and then sit in their little robes on their little chairs and be like, but I can't believe that someone forwarded the PDF to the news.
Well, I feel like this is the Republicans and the right are not operating by the rules anymore. Like, they're making their own rules. They're breaking it. They're breaking decorum. They have been for years and years and years. And I guess, like, Democrats are, you know, especially centrists, especially people like Joe Biden, are still like, there are still reasonable Republicans and they're still this and we must have decorum and we must work together and Joe Manchin, all this shit. But then, like, it's weird to see Republicans want to also go back to the decorum that they've showed nobody, because they would have impeached Trump twice already if they were going by the decorum of the back in the days and all this shit. But they haven't.
No, I mean, that's the thing that drives me crazy, because I'm just like, we're going to go through all of this shit with the filibuster and Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema talking about minority rule and all this stuff. And then as soon as Republicans are in the same position that we're in and they want to pass a law making it so that, I don't know,
something terrible,
something stupid, something, whatever. I can't even think of a stupid thing by them, because everything that I think of is just something they actually want to do. So, So anyway, as soon as they want to pass something, they'll get rid of the filibuster. So it's just like, it's like you're saying, we're playing by rules that they throw out at every turn. But then when we throw out even the most minor rule, it's like, it's like the Texas attorney general yelling at Beto O'Rourke being like, you are out of line, sir. When Beto's,
how dare
like,
you politicize this?
Like, when Beto's yelling at a like press conference and it's like, are you, what? This is what outrages you? This is what spurs you to action, to be yelling? Come on.
Yeah, because they fucking look bad. And they, oh, this is out of line. And it's like, yeah, well, guess what? 19 children getting, like, killed at school should make somebody want, like, is so crazy that it should make people want to act different. Banning abortion is so crazy. It should make people want to act different without the decorum of the whatever, like, precedented times, like you were saying.
Yeah, exactly. Speaking of people lacking decorum, I'm getting into these segues. I'm learning how to do it.
You're good.
Thank
you're
you.
Good.
Thank
good.
You.
You're doing so great. We miss you, Amanda, but you, you're Amanda. Killing it.
We're going to end today with a segment called People Who Probably Made Worse Long Weekend Decisions Than You. So We're going to start with Paul Pelosi. Nancy Pelosi's husband, Paul, was arrested and charged with driving under the influence on Saturday night after he crashed his Porsche into an oncoming Jeep. The other driver was not arrested. I haven't seen anything about anybody being hurt, so good there. His bail was set at $5,000, which is nothing for them, nothing. Probably, but would absolutely devastate someone else.
Yeah, no, that would ruin...
would absolutely put someone else in jail. And he was released on Sunday morning. Nancy was in Rhode Island on Sunday to speak at Brown's commencement. Any thoughts?
I just was thinking, like, oh, is this something that, like, if Donald Trump Jr. had a DUI, would I be, like, I don't know if I'd be celebrating, but it's just kind of, like, it's just unfortunate. You know, I just think that, you know, drinking and driving, like, you're fucking Paul Pelosi.
Get an Uber, man.
Get an Uber. Get an Uber XL.
Yeah, hire a driver. Honestly, you're 82. He's 82 years old. Hire a driver.
If I could hire a driver now, I would do that.
Oh, like, my God. Absolutely.
I would never fucking
kidding?
Drive anywhere.
But I always say this on the podcast. I have no desire when I'm 82 to be working in a high-level position.
Nope.
None of that. I want to be sitting in a chair. I want to be driven around. And then I can get as drunk as I want on Memorial Day.
Yeah.
And not cause any problems.
Or, like, just get an Uber. I got an Uber. Listen, I got an Uber last night twice. They were so expensive. It wasn't $5,000, but it was fucking close. But.
Yeah, that's the thing is that the Uber usually is not going to be $5,000.
No. But did it feel like $5,000 to me? Absolutely.
Sometimes that Uber feels like $5,000.
Because listen, I went from Harlem to Bushwick. It was not an easy. You already know.
$5,000.
It wasn't $5,000. It was a cool $4,995. But yeah, just take it. It's just so annoying to see, like, when people have DUIs, especially in major cities. It's just like, come on. But it's not Nancy's fault, and it's not like an indictment or whatever, blah, blah, blah. And I'm sure she's pissed.
Oh, my God. I would love to be a fly on the wall of her coming home being like, you got a fucking DUI?
Yeah.
What? I'm the Speaker of the House. You can't get a DUI, dude.
Like, no bueno. No.
And we're 80. That would also, like, even take being Nancy Pelosi out of it. If we're 80 and my husband comes home with a DUI, I'm going to be like, what the fuck?
No. Speaking of an 80-year-old DUI.
Speaking of terrible, while awaiting the verdict in his defamation suit, Johnny Depp performed with Jeff Beck in Sheffield, England over the weekend. They sang a lot of songs together, including a cover of Isolation by John Lennon that they released in 2020 and Marvin Gaye's What's Going On, which is what we've been thinking watching all of this. Yeah. It's simply what's going on. Beck introduced Depp as someone who came knocking on my dressing room door about 5 years ago and we haven't stopped laughing since. I don't know. I think the whole thing just underscores how weird the response to one person versus the other has gotten, how weird this entire situation has gotten.
I'm just like, every two fucking seconds you're on the internet, someone's like, you can tell Amber Heard's lying because she laughed in 2008. Mm-hmm. And it's just like...
when she said in her deposition that in 2008, she also experienced sadness.
It's like, okay... and like everyone's overanalyzing everything this woman does to like prove that she's wrong and saying that she must not have been a victim and Johnny Depp is the victim when this motherfucker is playing at a thing and is getting so much like love and support, which is also like, isn't that the point of his defamation thing is that she like muddled his name or, you know, dirtied his name and he can't get anything and like his life is ruined because of her. And then he's playing with fucking Beck. Which also, fuck Beck, you are a loser.
It's just so, again, and we've talked about this a bunch of times, it is so weird to me the degree to which public opinion is assumed to be in Johnny Depp's favor, that it is like, companies will come out and in support of him, like, people will bring him out on stage, all of this stuff. Like, there is no... I don't know. There's like no gray area or nuance. And it's really interesting because I feel like I've had an evolution on this case in the other direction, where when it was his testimony at first, I was like, wow, this seems really complicated. A lot of weird stuff was going on. And now I see more of this response. And honestly, the thing for me is his text messages about her, where he like calls her so many iterations of things. He says he wants to kill her. He says he wants to have sex with her body. Like, that stuff is really
nasty.
Yeah, that stuff is like, I don't know. It rings of like really gross other stuff going on.
Yeah, it's not cool at all. And it's disappointing to see people like, to see people fall for it, to see people engage with this. It's also like, yeah, the most rational response is like, he did abuse her. And also, I think that I was listening to a podcast with Michael Hobbs. You know, I love Michael Hobbs. Mm-hmm. That you're wrong about.
We stan you, Michael Hobbs.
We stan Michael Hobbs. And he was providing nuance, but it's just like, also just hearing her testimony and I'm just like, yeah, like because everyone's constantly like, oh, it was mutual abuse, or they abused each other. They're both just as bad. And you know, she was like, I really tried everything. I'm not proud of it, whatever. And like, I just gave up. Like, he wouldn't let me leave him. He wouldn't let me do this. He wouldn't let me do that. And like, so I started fighting back and like, just, I don't know. I'm just like, yeah, if some guy like slapped me in the face in front of a bunch of people and kicked me on the floor of an airplane, I'd probably say some not nice things to him too. Like, it's just crazy that no one, to me, that like, I feel like nobody's really having perspective or nuance on that.
Yeah, and I just also, it's odd to me because even if you do believe the mutual abuse line, even if you do feel like the case is really complicated, you have questions, whatever, it's the like gleeful celebration of Johnny Depp of like turning him into stickers, of like making her a meme, of like, I don't know, just bringing him out on stage in the middle of this really messy and gross trial. I feel like there's no like respect for the subject matter that's being dealt with here. I mean, people are drawing murals. I saw you retweet this. People are doing murals of Amber Heard with like a Pinocchio nose that say Johnny broke my nose or whatever. And it's like, even if you believe she is a liar, imagine how disturbing that would be to a domestic abuse victim to even see and to be reminded of domestic violence in this bizarre,
joking matter. Yeah.
Yeah. This bizarre way. Like, it's just, it's all left a very bad taste in my mouth personally.
Yeah. And also, like, Chocolat was not even, like, I'm just like still stuck on like, he played a pirate. Like, I just am so shocked.
America loved that pirate.
Oh, America, my God,
loves,
dude,
that pirate. And I gotta say, in my most recent viewing of Pirates 1, I loved that pirate too.
No, I'm sorry. There's something I can't get on board with, white people in dreadlocks. So forgive me if I never bought in.
No, you're right.
To that. But
you're right. You're right. But I will admit to that I loved that pirate, and it's a great pirate, and he's a funny pirate.
It's fine. I will. That's fine. That's fine. But I'm just like, is it a pirate? Did you love that pirate enough to fucking embarrass yourself on social media? Like,
no, personally, no. Me, no.
No.
But other people really loved the pirate. He was really funny. He's a really funny pirate.
Apparently. Like, goddamn, people. Like, this guy, like, come on.
Really, he's such a funny pirate. He says, where's the rum?
Oh, my God.
Where's the rum? He drank it. That's what's funny. I actually do love Jack Sparrow. Okay, we need to end the episode.
Stop. Yeah. Let's stop talking, Elise. Stop. You saved yourself and then dug it again and saved yourself and dug it again. And I don't even know what you think.
We need Amanda on the episode because Amanda ends the episode instead of us just spiraling into all this.
Not us, you bitch.
Hey, you know what? You're so right. You're so right.
I gave you an out.
You're so right. Okay, guys.
If C-SPAN meets the group chat, then we are leaving the group chat.
We are leaving. Until the end of democracy, I'm Elise Morales.
I'm Amanda Duber. I'm Millie Tamir.
And this is the Veggie Sub Podcast.
The Betches Sup podcast is produced by Amanda Duberman, Jorge Morales Pico, and Sean Kilby. Editing by Jorge Morales Pico. Social media by Amanda Duberman. Be sure to follow at Betches_Sup on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok, and send us your emails to suppod@betches.com. Betches.